This is Brett Musburger, and you are listening live to Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio with my main man, Tony D.
All right, let's go to the Progressive Guest Line. Progressive Insurance, round out your protection with life, phone, and pet health insurance. 1982 on a throwback Thursday. NBA, Keith Smith joins us, Sports Track front office show, to talk about the association. How are you, Keith?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
All right, let's start with Draymond Green, five-game suspension, a little headlock on Rudy Gobert. Nothing too serious, pulling him away, but nevertheless, some people thought it would be 10. What was your take on the suspension amount?
Yeah, it was a little surprising. I think if this was, you know, first time he had ever done anything or he wasn't a repeat offender with stuff, this might have been like two games for this, but because of his history, he was going to get hit harder. And, you know, five games seems to be the NBA basically saying, hey, knock it off. You're a repeat offender here. We're going to hit you pretty hard. But they're not going to go crazy with a suspension on something that, you know, things happen sometimes in games, even if this was over the line. But yeah, that's where, he's going to be out now. Now the challenge for the Warriors is you're without him and you're going to be without Stephen Curry for a little bit. And that's going to be, make stuff difficult on them for the, at least the next five games or so.
All right, this NBA in-season tournament, what is your perception of this? Is it working? Do people know what this is? Have they done a good job selling this to the NBA public?
Yeah, I think people are starting to get it. I think it is working. I think, if you're a casual fan, you turn on the TV and you're like, what in the world are these courts? It's an instant reminder of, oh, yeah, it's in-season tournament. So I think it's in a spot where, that is, that part is good. The players are obviously, they're engaged in it. They're playing a little harder. They're getting after it. They're doing some stuff, that's a little bit different, which is a lot of fun, too. So I think we are in a spot where, for sure, this seems to be working a little bit better now. And, this is good, right? This is where you want to be. If you're the league, you want to add it. You were trying to add some juice to the regular season, and that is what they've been able to accomplish so far.
I watched Boston, Philadelphia last night, and I've been fascinated with the Sixers and how they're playing because James Harden is out and Tyrese Maxey has been fantastic. Give us an idea of like addition by subtraction with the Sixers. I know they lost last night, but boy, they really have found a connection there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what has happened is you called it exactly what it is. It's addition by subtraction. So, one, you don't have the distractions of James Harden. You're also running a very different style of team, and it's a team that I think fits what Nick Nurse wants a little bit more. He wants to play a little faster. You're never going to play super fast break transition basketball with Joel Embiid. It's just not who he is, and that would be a complete waste of usage of the MVP of the NBA. But you can play faster when he's not on the court. And that's what Tyrese Maxey and putting the ball in his hands really does for them. It kind of juices their offense in a way we haven't seen over the last few years with that team. So that is, a big piece there. And then just, they added some depth in with some of the guys they got. They've got flexibility. I don't think this roster is done by any means. I think Daryl Morey is going to go out. I know there's been a lot of talk about they've got all this cap space of the summer. I just wrote about Tyrese Maxey's situation and the team situation for SpotTrack, an article that posted last night. So if anyone wants to read that, they can go find that. But the challenge is, I think Morey knows, hey, we're pretty good right now. So it may be, let's spend some of this today, this newfound flexibility. Let's go get a guy who can help us now and somebody we can have going forward around what our new team is built around, Embiid and Maxey.
About 10, 11 games into the season, so I get that it's early. What is your early read on Damian Lillard and Milwaukee? And more importantly, the absence of Drew Holiday on the Bucks.
Yeah, a little bumpy. And I think that was to be expected. These anytime you add a player like Damian Lillard, who he's been the man and the guy on his own team for more than a decade, and you add him into an ecosystem with a bunch of guys who've been together, and they have their guy in Giannis. It's always bound to be a little bumpy, and that's not a bad thing. It's just going to take them a little bit of time to sort through things. I think their other big challenges defensively, not only is Lillard a huge downgrade from Holiday, but your other challenge is they're playing a very different style. Adrian Griffin came in as the new head coach and is basically saying, hey, what we've done here as a team over the last several years, yes, one of those years, it resulted in a championship, but – you know, the other years it hasn't, you know, worked great, you know, past the regular season. I want to try some different stuff. And that's what they're doing, is that they're really kind of in experimentation phase right now. I think with the idea of maybe we'll find something that really, really works for us. And if not, we know we have the drop style of defense. We have the coverages we know we can always go back to. And that's probably leading to a little bit of the early season unevenness. So I'm not too worried about them. I kind of take the approach when anytime a team makes a move that big, let's check in around Christmas or so when we're about 2 months into the season and see how it's working then and get a much better idea.
All right, let's go to the West. Phoenix gets a big win last night with Devin Booker's return, but no Bradley Beal. And it's been like that all season long. One's out, two are in. The big three have not really come together. Is that what's why they're kind of about 500, or is there a little bit larger story what's going on with Phoenix?
Yeah, I think it's mostly about that. It's about those guys being out. And then when you're that top-heavy in salary, you're not going to be the deepest team. Now, I loved a lot of the guys they signed to their minimum contract this summer, and I thought they got great values. But I like those guys when they're your 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th men. When they are pressed into being starters and playing, you know, 30 minutes a night off the bench, that's a, you know, bit bigger problem. That's not, I don't like it quite as much then. And that's where it gets a little messy. So I think, you know, if you're the Suns, your hope is let's get these guys on the floor. But now we're, you know, we're over 10 games into the season. We haven't had a single game yet. I set the over-under on those three guys in games played together at 50, and clearly I was way too high. I would say it's going to go well under that now, because the challenge is, I know some people are like, it's only 10 games in. I was like, but you really think they're going to play 50 of the remaining 70 games, all of them are going to be available? It's probably more in the range of, you know, 35 to 40, if we're being honest, just given those guys' injury history. So that's going to, you know, be a challenge. They're just going to have to work through. Any given night, you're fine. I mean, they blasted the Timberwolves last night, but it's the, you know, kind of over the accumulation of games where it starts to become a situation where that's where it'll stand out a little bit more than any one given game. Because in any one game, Kevin Durant by himself is enough to carry you to a win. But, you know, when you start talking 3-4 games in a week, that's where those absences start to pile up.
Yeah, and I always throw this caveat out. If you and I are having a conversation in February on these teams and their temperatures, obviously different than the beginning of the season. But I want to ask you about Dallas, because when they got Kyrie Irving, they went from, hey, we're going to try to make a playoff push, to not making the playoffs at all. But now they're off to a good start. Is there a connection between Doncic and Irving? How do you see the Mavericks?
Yeah, I think we almost have to throw out last year after that trade, because they both of them were dealing with injuries. And then the Mavs clearly looked at it and said, "Yeah, we're not really interested in losing in the play-in tournament. Yeah. Let's just, you know, keep our draft pick," and completely pivoted off of that. So we toss that away and take this almost as a fresh approach. Those two guys really are working pretty well together. I think you're seeing Luka is still, he's the engine, right? He's going to drive everything there. But their ability now, in the minutes where he sits, to say, all right, Kyrie, these, you know, 15 minutes a night, this is your time. You get out there. You run it. That's huge, right? Because he's that good of a player too. And then the time when they're out there together, what the Mavericks have done really, really well is they've made sure to put enough defenders and shooters around them that it works with those two guys. Because that's always your concern, is neither one of them at this point, let's face it, they're not very good defenders. And they are, though, very willing passers. But in order for that to work, you have to have enough shooting to open that stuff up. So shooting on the floor, defensive players on the floor, it's really working out well in Dallas right now. And they seem to have found a mix that at least works for the regular season. We'll see when we get into the playoffs. Is that a, you know, workable, functional mix? Is that going to make enough of a difference?
All right. I do have to ask you about Victor Wembanyama. Early report card, Keith, on the rookie.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun. I get to see him. I was actually at that game where he went off in Phoenix, kind of his big breakout game, where I think he had 38 points. And what's interesting is, I think he is doing a lot of stuff really, really well. And a lot of it right now is it's on instinct. Like, you could tell there are times when, especially defensively, it's just his size that's making the difference. When he actually figures out NBA coverages and the like, and then puts that together with the size, it's going to be really hard to score on this kid when he's in the game. And it's already pretty hard. Now, the challenge is, the Spurs are doing some stuff. They're doing some experimenting. I think they have an accurate read of, hey, even if this kid was great, we're still not ready to win just yet. But what they've done is by playing like a guy like Jeremy Sochan, who I like quite a bit as a player, but not as a point guard. They're playing him in that role because why not experiment with it a little bit? But what it's done is it's made life harder on all the rest of the Spurs, including Wembanyama and some of those guys. So that's been a major challenge that I think we are going to have to see them work through a little bit.
Keith Smith, again, Sports Track Front Office Show. Always good talking to you, my friend. We'll catch up with you down the road to give us some more NBA analysis. Thanks so much.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
You got it. Keith Smith joining us. Talking a little NBA. Victor Wembanyama, and it seems to be working in Dallas. And Phoenix does have to get those three guys on the court. Because, right now, 5-6. Right? And everything's working good in Philadelphia, too. So we bounced around the association. Coming up, hour two, we'll continue. Good, the bad, and the dumb. Also more in the NFL. Thursday Night Football. As we continue, it's Wake Up Call.